If you would, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, in many senses, restates the blessings of the new covenant. And the reason why God's people don't know the blessings of the new covenant is churches would rather teach you about how you can become prosperous financially or something like that. That is not what God recognizes. Paul, in chapter 5, has been talking about the blessings of the new covenant, and he has told Christians this in 5:16, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Why is that possible? Because when you come to Jesus, he inaugurated the new covenant, and the central focus of the new covenant is the power of God's Spirit. It is very unfortunate that many churches, because of the excesses of what we would call some charismatic movements, that we have neglected a central focus of the new covenant on the teaching of the enablement and the empowerment of God's Spirit. I was looking at this thing that Earl mentioned this morning. Anybody have a flashlight now? I have a couple that you can crank, and that'll show a light. This one, Earl said what you do is this is a power cell. It's called, I've got to be careful, we have rocket scientists, mad scientists and physicians now, so I have to be careful what I say. I can't bluff. I'll try, but we'll see. This is a photovoltaic cell. It absorbs the power of the sun. You just set it out. How many have solar on their house now? Boy, I'll tell you, they're going to raise the rates. I hear it's coming. They're going to raise the rates. Not on solar, but on the Edison's going to. We've gotten hints of the Edison rates. And I'll tell you, and all of you that have put solar, you have photovoltaic cells on the roof, and this absorbs the power of the sun all day, and it converts it into electricity, which is power to do what? Work. I think that's neat. And there it will shine. From what Earl said, and he can correct me, you put that out for 5 to 6 hours, Earl?
They said 6 to 8, it'll give you 5 to 7 hours of light.
So you put this out in the sun? Sun's free. This is $10, I think, a piece. Sun's free, you put it out. It absorbs the power of the sun. And then at night, you have what? Proof that it absorbed the power of the sun. What's the proof that this absorbed the power of the sun? I thought this would be a great illustration, because listen to me. God's Spirit is the power of God's people. And unless we are absorbing and living and walking by the power of God's Spirit, if you're absorbing the power of the sun, what do you get? If you are not absorbing the power of the Spirit in your life, darkness, and it will show its behavior. We talked about it last week. The behavior is jealousy, strife, dissensions, disputes, factions, you name it. I've been in those churches. And the more rabid fundamentalist churches they are, the more that's there. Isn't that awful of me? Now, for those of you who are visiting, we believe in the fundamentals of the faith, but Jesus said that you'll know that you're my disciples by how? Now, you can put this in a closet and not absorb the sunlight, and when you need light, what are you going to get? If the church is putting out the power of the Spirit, we're going to find out this morning what will be evidenced in a church. It's rather black and white. If you don't have the power of God's Spirit being absorbed in your life through the new covenant, it's going to be awful. Jealousy, strife. I mean, I don't want to stay in the negative there, but when churches fight, I've seen them split over the color of carpet. I've seen them split over the most stupid things. And it's why? Because their walking in the Spirit isn't there. They're not putting out their light to the power of God so that they'll shine. I tell my kids, this is what saddens me. The power of God's church is the Holy Spirit, but we've had such excess with some groups that churches now avoid God's Spirit. They think in terms of those excesses instead of realizing that the power of God's church rests in the new covenant and the power of God's Spirit. Zechariah said, not by might, nor by power, but how does God accomplish things? Now, some churches think that the evidence of God's Spirit is doing certain things. But those are not what God is the evidence of God's Spirit in one's life. I tell the kids at school, the power, do you know what the power of the early church was for preaching? None of those kids, that those disciples, and they were kids at this time, they were in their mid-20s. Did you know that? None of those kids went to seminary. None of them were trained. The best they got, those precious Jewish kids, were Hebrew school in synagogue. And there's something very interesting that is repeated constantly in the book of Acts that should tell us that we must not, as a congregation, neglect the power of God's Spirit to produce what He wants in us. And I want to show you something. This is what I tell the kids, and it's not because Joey is here that I do this. I plan these things, but watch this. Peter, let's go to Acts chapter 2, the power of God's church to make the message powerful. Peter was not what I would consider the bravest of people. When he told the Lord, Lord, I'll stand with you. I'm tough, Lord. What was that? He was relying upon his own personal power. You all know what happened to Peter. The rooster crowed. He had denied Jesus 3 times. He cursed and he swore. Nothing, you know, I mean, he was under stress. Okay, no big deal. Really. That's what happens when people are under stress. And then the look that I never would want to see my Savior give. It wasn't, I don't think, we don't know what the look was like, but I think Jesus just looked at him, and it was the look of, I told you so, Peter. Peter had relied upon his own strength. The power of God's Spirit had not been given at that point. But look what happens in Acts. In Acts, 50 days after Jesus was crucified, well, where were you 50 days ago? What was that? For me, I think it was late August. No? Where was it? How's my math? September? Okay, just a few weeks later, this same guy that really blew it gets up and preaches one of the most powerful sermons that has ever been preached. And look what it says. Chapter 2, Acts, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it will say, and Peter gets up and he preaches taking his stand in 14, and he preaches one of the most powerful sermons that has ever been preached in the history of the early church. And then look at Acts 4:8. Acts 4:8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people." But what you don't know is you need to look back at verse 6. In chapter 4, you need to look back at verse 6. Who is Peter speaking to? The same group that killed Jesus. What's the difference between Peter on the night in which Jesus was betrayed and he denied him, and 50 days later is this? The power of God's Spirit rested upon that person. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. And he looks at them, and what I find interesting, they said, these people are ignorant and untrained, and they put the Sanhedrin on the defensive. And look what it says in verse 13. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were seminary trained and had a doctorate. That's what worries me about seminary education. They think they know something. I can tell you, doctorates mean nothing. We call them masters. It means nothing. I'll tell you, I'll trade a master's degree any day for a preacher that's filled with God's Spirit. I'll show you a powerful preacher. And they were marveling and began to recognize them as being with Jesus. That's the pattern constantly in Acts, that when these boys preach, Acts 7:55. But being filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen, as they're stoning him. I'll tell you, if they're stoning you, you want the power of God's Spirit. He preached a message that got him killed. I'm telling everybody, if you're going to stand for Jesus, the thing that you'll need in the future for sure will be the power of God's Spirit, because Christians in this country, our time is over. Our time is over. They are now having people open up government prayers who are in the occult, everything. It's over for Christians. Let me tell you something. It's not paranoia. They are out to get us. It's God's grace that we have a little time left. You will need the filling of God's Spirit when the days of what is unfolding start happening. Unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians that give Jesus a bad reputation. They're unloving and they're unkind. They're harsh, mean-spirited. But the key that we're taking is this. Remember, unless you absorb the power of God's Spirit into your life through the new covenant, this will not shine the power, the fruit of God's Spirit. Now let's look at how this works. Let's go back to chapter 5. When there's no power of God's Spirit, there are those lists of things that happen. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit is the evidence that you have God's Spirit in your life, that you participate in the new covenant. This is why I think many fundamentalist churches are out to lunch. Why? I don't see love in those groups. How is the church doing overall in terms of its love? Come on, how is it? I don't think we do very well. That's because the Spirit of God and the enablement of God has been overlooked. The fruit of the Spirit, what fruit means is the evidence that God's Spirit is manifesting Himself in your life is this. The first thing on the list is love. Jesus was a friend of sinners. How many unsaved friends do you have? You see, they'll be attracted to our light if with the fruit of the Spirit we have the evidence of God's Spirit. I've seen Christians, at least they say they're Christians, and I don't want to be judgmental because that is unloving at times, but nonetheless, if that were true Christianity, can I be honest with you? I wouldn't want a thing to do with it. Have you met some of those types? Those church-going people? I happen to know that there are some precious people in our congregation that have been damaged by those type of people because they've attended those kind of churches where everybody was harsh and unloving and confrontational. I was told by an old Baptist preacher, and it's true, watch the ones that are the most confrontational and always riding the hobby horses, because when you look under the rug, they're the ones that are usually guilty of what they're harping about. What is the evidence of the Spirit? The evidence of the Spirit is love. Now, that doesn't mean we're all soft and anything goes, but I'll tell you something. Jesus was a friend of sinners. What did he do? I often ask this about myself. What is it about Jesus in his love for the sinner that they were attracted to him? Most of the Christians that I know are so self-righteous that the sinner doesn't want to go anywhere around them. What was it about Jesus? Here was God, very God, perfectly holy, never did anything wrong, but what was it about Jesus that the sinner wanted to be around him? He sat with the worst. I've told you many times, who was the worst in society was the tax collector because they traded their nation. Then up just above that were sexually immoral and all sorts of stuff. And Jesus went and he ate with them. I'll tell you how much they loved him. There was a woman that Jesus had helped. She took and wiped his dirty feet with her hair. And you know whose house he was in? Who didn't wash his feet? Simon the Pharisee. I've been to church with Simons. You want to know if the Spirit is evident in your life? Do not look for Bible-quoting people. Do not look for people that confront. Do not look for harshness. You want to know if you've been absorbing the power of God's Spirit? You're going to have love for the sinner. You're going to have love. This is why I am so scared about this terrible war on terror. I'm going to make you mad. You know I do. You can leave. People do. But we've lived so long with the war on terror, we're not seeing the people that need Jesus in the Middle East. Jesus sent us to all these people. Of course, they'll cut your hand off. They'll put you in a cage and burn you. But Jesus called to us to go into all the world. If you have love, you should, as a Christian, have a love for sinners. That's what you should have. That's what Jesus had, to see these people who need God. That's what love is. But I don't see that in the evangelical church. We've gotten so used to these terrible wars that I don't think our Savior, he saw the Samaritans who were today's Palestinians. And what did Jesus say? The harvest is white. Pray that the Lord send forth laborers. These people that do these things, they need the Lord Jesus Christ. The evidence of fruit of God's Spirit is when you see these people, there should be, Lord, they need your gospel, your message. I know that may upset some. There was a We had a chapel one day at school in which one of the guys that was a missionary to Albania, one of the elders told him that he wanted to, the preacher kid from our seminary wanted to form a mission group to help the Muslims. Not an easy job. And he had elders quit on his board because they're the ones that did 9/11 and I can't participate in this, and he left. I'll never forget that because I thought to myself, my aching back, man, do you not know that God himself humbled himself, loved the Samaritans? When Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan, do you realize how insulting he was to his people? They didn't think there was a Good Samaritan. The evidence in a church that God's Spirit is active is, first of all, love. That's why I'll ask us, how's your love life? I don't see the church doing well here. I think sometimes the sinner sees more hate in Christians than they do love. Doesn't mean we love the sin, does it? I'm sure. I mean, let's be honest. You who are, I love what Jesus did. Jesus, if you accept that one section of John, said, you who are without sin, do what? Throw that first stone. Okay? Which one of us can throw that first stone? That's why we have to be careful, because the love of Jesus is expressed and reflected in the power of love through his people. They'll know you're my disciples by how? Christians do a lot of talking about it. If I was grading, they wouldn't get a good grade. I'd have to flunk them. Joy. Peace. Jesus said this. In the Beatitudes, blessed are the... Now, that doesn't mean you hold a 45. I understand that that could be considered a peacemaker. Blessed are the... For they shall be called what? The children of God. I love our elders. I don't say these things unless I mean them, but our elders are peacemakers. We have long conversations when people get upset. What do? And I'm thankful that our elders conclude, let's see if we can make peace here. I've been on elder boards where all they did was war. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Actually, it takes greater strength to be a peacemaker than it does to go to war. Self-control, thank you. That's exactly what it means. The Spirit in your life, you'll want to make peace. It's hard to do. I know we're going to drive each other nuts. I'm going to do things and say things that are going to drive you nuts. That's okay, but the fruit of the Spirit is that we try, when brother and sister so-and-so act like they do, make peace. Make peace. But I don't know many churches that have peace. Do you? Man, I got word. I was at a church, big church, yesterday. Men's meeting. Had a conference, so I'm a little tired this morning. But they had just gotten over a church split. And it involved people that worked for the same organization. I'm not going to go any further than that. And from what I understand, if I got it right, the church went from 600 to 800 down to half that because this person got upset and off they went. I said, what did they get upset about? They couldn't identify the problem. I have, I knew a 777 pilot. And he flew those things over the ocean. I couldn't do that, man. I am a chicken. Can you imagine? You're out over the middle of the ocean flying to England or Japan, and you look down, and all there are down there are waves. And then all I need is somebody telling me, underneath is your floating device, and all of this kind of stuff, and he could fly them. And I asked him, I said, he flew 777s, which were the big plane. Now they've got a 787, don't they? But there are only two engines on that thing. Now I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm out over the ocean. I'm looking down. It's the water's down there, and it's 20,000 feet below that, and there are sharks circling as that plane's going over. And I said, wouldn't you rather have four engines on that plane? And he told me something that I never forgot and found it true for churches. He said, no, more engines means more problems. Something else can go wrong. And you know what? After a while, having been a pastor, I've learned something. More people can bring more problems. I see pastors of churches with 800, 900, could never do it because I know one thing, they'd be flying a plane with more engines, meaning more problems. I hope the Lord grows us. But I also know with growth will come what? Problems. But the fruit of the Spirit here are peacemakers. Okay? So when I upset you or someone upset you, the fruit of whether we really have the evidence of God's Spirit in our life is to be a son of God, a child of God, is to make peace. See, the Jewish shalom, peace. I like it that our elders will say, and they have, how can we do this so that... Boy, that's unusual. I've been in elder boards that haven't been like that. I've been beat up, chewed up, spit out, and stomped on. And probably you say, I understand why. You're a crazy... I know. Sandy's a witness to what's happened. That's why I tell you, religious people are... See, not everybody who's religious is truly born again and knows Jesus. If you're truly born again and know Jesus, what's the first fruit that's going to be in your life, the evidence of the Holy Spirit? And what's another one? Joy. And not everything is going to be joyous, but nonetheless, you're going to be a peacemaker. Peace is not easy to do. They've been working on peace in our world for how long? In the 20th century alone. Man! Do you know how many people have been killed? World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Afghanistan. I understand that the estimates of people who have died in war in this nation from wars that we've been involved in, overall, these world wars have taken out 120 million people. All I'm saying is, I'm looking forward to when Jesus rules, because I'll tell you something, he's going to be a peacemaker. And that's what we need for Christians to be, loving peacemakers. Because that's what will attract people to Jesus. It is not attractive for Christians to go around sticking their nose up in the air and telling everybody what they shouldn't do and how holy we are compared to them. That does nothing. As a matter of fact, I get away from people like that. Have you met them? I have. And many of you have been in churches where it's been like that. And what is your point, Pastor Dave? My point is that the fruit of God's Spirit is not evident in those kind of churches. And there's a lot of people that talk the talk, but the walk is, and we'll continue this, love, peace, and trying to find a way where we all help each other grow in the Christian life.